This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, inshallah ta'ala, now we're going to go ahead and continue with just 13. Ramadan's moving really, really, really fast. Of course, and subhanAllah, we're in everybody's favorite surah right now. Which is, of course, Surah Yusuf. I'm not going to take too much time with Surah Yusuf. We already covered basically the first part of Surah Yusuf up until verse 52. And as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us off with Yusuf alayhi salam, basically proclaiming his own innocence and the people recognizing their innocence. The wife of Al-Aziz recognizing her mistake. Yusuf alayhi salam insisting on his principle despite everything that's happened. So the turning point is with this juz. So verse 53 onwards is really the turning point. It really refers to Yusuf alayhi salam going from now being a prisoner to being the king's cabinet minister. And that turning point, that transition is quite powerful, because to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's basically already being told about the turning point that will come in his own life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights a few things. So from verse 58 to 62, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam coming to him to ask him for food. So basically Yusuf alayhi salam has his brothers at his mercy. But instead of Yusuf alayhi salam showing them mercilessness, just as they showed him when they abandoned him, Yusuf alayhi salam demonstrates his superior compassion. So first we see the highlight of Yusuf's superior compassion when Yusuf alayhi salam asks them to bring forth the youngest brother, who is Binyamin alayhi salam, and that is of course Yusuf's younger brother, and Yusuf alayhi salam wants to rescue him. So Yusuf sends his 10 brothers back to go and bring back his youngest brother Binyamin. So Yusuf demonstrates his superior forbearance, his superior compassion, that he didn't punish his brothers, but instead he showed them compassion when they were vulnerable, even though they did not show him compassion when he was vulnerable to them. Then we find the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam going back to ask Ya'qub alayhi salam to send Binyamin, to send Benjamin with them in order to get more grain, in order to get more of the goods that Yusuf alayhi salam had promised. So Jacob, Ya'qub, sends Benjamin, reluctantly. And he advises his sons, because he knows that his sons already took the life of, or they already plotted against Yusuf alayhi salam. So Ya'qub alayhi salam warns his sons of plotting against Binyamin the way that they plotted against Yusuf alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the superior patience of Jacob, the superior patience of Ya'qub alayhi salam. And then we find another turning point in the surah, which is from verse 69 to 79, where Yusuf alayhi salam secretly takes Binyamin to the side, Benjamin aside, and he plots with Benjamin alayhi salam, or he basically plots to have those stolen goods, if you will, placed in the bag of Benjamin, so that Yusuf alayhi salam could rescue his brother Benjamin from the situation that he was in as well. So Yusuf alayhi salam takes Benjamin, he informs him who he is, and he protects him from any sort of harm that would come to him from his other brothers. And then you find the superior hope. So we're seeing superior qualities that are really being demonstrated in the family of Ya'qub alayhi salam, and Jacob, and in Joseph, and Ya'qub and in Yusuf alayhi salam. With Ya'qub alayhi salam, you find that superior hope, that when the brothers of Yusuf went back to him and they told him that they now had lost Binyamin as well, that they lost Benjamin as well, Ya'qub alayhi salam responded, and he didn't just have hope that Benjamin would come back to him, that Binyamin would be returned to him, but instead he continued to express hope that Yusuf alayhi salam, who's been lost now for 2 decades, would also be brought back to him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him back both of his sons. So it shows you the amal, the hope of Ya'qub alayhi salam, his superior hope in this situation. And then of course you see the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam coming back to him and begging him for food, and Yusuf alayhi salam disclosing his identity to his brothers. And his brothers, you know, obviously apologizing and expressing remorse at what they did, but they're completely now in a situation where he could penalize them, where he could punish them because of what they did to him. But instead, Yusuf alayhi salam shows superior forgiveness. So Yusuf chooses to forgive his brothers. Not only that, he sends back food and he sends back grain with his brothers to go to his parents as well. And he sends his shirt as well. So the brothers of Yusuf take the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam back to their father Yaqub alayhi salam. And that is a means of bringing him to Egypt, to where they would now live in a better situation. So verse 94 to 98, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Yaqub alayhi salam receiving the good news of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. That the shirt was brought to him, and subhanAllah, he could even smell Yusuf alayhi salam. He could smell the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam from a distance away. And the shirt was placed on the face of Yaqub alayhi salam, and it brought back his vision after he had cried himself blind. SubhanAllah. So Allah rewarded his patience. Allah rewarded his hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him back both Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin. And it's really powerful because if you connect this to the previous surah, in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the bushra, the glad tidings, the good news to Ibrahim alayhi salam and to Sarah for both Ishaq and Yaqub. So the good news in Surah Hud was to Abraham that he would have a son, Isaac, and that Isaac would have a son, Jacob. So it was the bushra of two at a time, right? The bushra of Ishaq and Yaqub was in the previous surah. In this surah, the bushra, the good news, the glad tidings, is to Yaqub, who was the good news in the previous surah. So now the good news is to him, as opposed to him being the good news. And the good news to him is that he gets both of his sons, Yusuf and Benjamin, back. So you find a very nice correlation, subhanAllah, of bushra here, what glad tidings means in this situation. And you find that as Yusuf alayhi salam ascends the throne, and Yusuf alayhi salam has his parents brought back to him, and he has his brothers brought back to him, and Yusuf alayhi salam now has achieved success, and he chooses to show forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, emulated Yusuf alayhi salam when he entered into Mecca. So he didn't forget the lesson that he learned from Surah Yusuf. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went back to Mecca, he said the same words, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, there is no blame on today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. And it was indeed the shaitan that planted the seeds of discord. And of course, later on, in the last year's Ramadan, I did People of Quran, I talked about Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, who recited the same words upon entering Jerusalem. And Salahuddin's actual name was Yusuf. So his actual name was Yusuf, subhanAllah. So the point being here, that this is a legacy of forgiveness, and a legacy of showing mercy when you're in a state of victory, even to those that did not show you mercy when you were in a state of vulnerability. If you think about, subhanAllah, in our modern day time, look at Nelson Mandela, for example. If Mandela had been a person of vengeance, then would the success and would the legacy of Mandela really have been cemented? So this is a very important lesson for us that we can learn from even now, in our current day. When you're in a state of power, when you're in a state of victory, do not show vengeance, but instead show mercy and forgiveness. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ took from it. And of course, now what we see, subhanAllah, is that we actually are given access to the thoughts of Yusuf alayhi salam as he's about to pass away. Now this is a very powerful legacy here. Because remember, the central focus is Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham. In the surah before, it's Ibrahim. And in the surah the surah that's about to come afterwards, in the same juz, is Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. This is a legacy of trying to keep people upon the deen, and the importance of staying upon the deen, staying upon the religion, despite whatever challenges you will face. So for example, Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ, that Abraham and Jacob, both, they gave wasiyah to their children. They reminded their children, يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ, O my children, Allah has chosen for you the religion. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, so do not pass away except that you're in a state of Islam, that you're in a state of submission. And then Allah says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ, and were you present, or did you bear witness when Jacob was dying? So the father was dying, Yaqub alayhi salam was passing away, And he gathered all of his sons, he gathered all of his children. And he said, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What will you worship after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. They said, we worship your Lord, the Lord of your father Abraham, the Lord of Ismail and Ishaq, of Ishmael and Isaac. We worship the Lord of all of them. So we're going to continue the legacy. إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. The one God, and we are to him Muslims. We have submitted ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the legacy here is the legacy of Tawheed, the legacy of monotheism, right? And subhanAllah, it's really interesting. The only prophet whose death wish is mentioned is Ya'qub alayhi salam, whose moment of death is mentioned is Ya'qub alayhi salam. So there's no other prophet in the Quran where you have access to their moments of death, except for Ya'qub alayhi salam, willing with his children, making that wasiyah with his children, renewing the covenant with his children, because it was from his children that Bani Israel would rise. And so Ya'qub, giving these last words, these final wishes, that you stay upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the concern of Jacob, it was the concern of Isaac, it was the concern of Abraham, it was the concern of this beautiful family. And subhanAllah, that's why Qurtubi narrates that when the Bashir, when the one giving the glad tidings to Ya'qub came to him with the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, he hasn't seen his son for decades. And Ya'qub asks the Bashir, he asks the one who's bringing the glad tidings, he says, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ يُوسُف? How did you find Yusuf alayhi salam? قَالَ تَرَكْتُهُ عَزِيزًا عَلَى مِصْرِ. He said, I left him while he was in charge, while he was the prime minister of Egypt. So I left Yusuf alayhi salam in a glorious state. When I last saw him, and when I came to you with this glad tidings, Yusuf is the Aziz of Masr. He's the prime minister of Masr, of Egypt. Ya'qub said, لَيْسَ عَنْ هَذَا أَسْأَلُكَ. That's not what I'm asking you. He says, تَرَكْتُهُ عَلَى أَيِّ دِينَ. On what religion was he upon when you left him? So he said, تَرَكْتُهُ عَلَى دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, when I left him, he was on the religion of Islam. He was on the way of submission. Ya'qub alayhi salam says, الآن تمت النعمة. So now the blessing is complete. The fact that he's still upon his religion and he's still upon his way, even after all these decades, after everything that happened to him, after all of the hardship that he encountered, Yusuf did not stray away from the religion of his father. He didn't stray away from the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him. So Ya'qub said, that's what I really want to hear, because it's not benefiting to me if he's still alive, but he's forsaken his religion, if he gave up on Allah at any point, throughout this trial of his. So Ya'qub alayhi salam said, now the blessing is complete that he stayed upon Islam. And so we find that subhanAllah, when Yusuf alayhi salam has reached his position of power and his entire dunya has come together, I mean everything has come full circle. Everyone has come to him. And Yusuf alayhi salam says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. Oh Allah, you have given me everything that I want of kingdom, and you've taught me the interpretation of all, of dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the originator of the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my guardian in this world and the next. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Allow me to die as a Muslim, O Allah, and to follow in the path of the righteous. So subhanAllah, he wants to uphold the covenant that his father took, that his grandfather took, that his great-grandfather took. And he wants to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him firm on Islam until his death. Meaning, I'm not safe now. I might have succeeded in the fitna of bala, in the test and trial of hardship. I passed the test of adultery and slavery and being in prison and abandoned by my brothers. But now is a new stage of fitna. It's a new stage of test and trial. And that is the test and trial of ease. I don't want to be deluded by the kingdom that you've given me and by the goodness that you've given me in this world, and start losing out on my salvation in the hereafter. And so he's asking Allah to keep him firm on that covenant. And subhanAllah, this was the most frequent dua of the Prophet ﷺ, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. O turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your religion. And this dua that Yusuf ﷺ makes is actually the exact same dua. It's pretty much the same dua that his great-grandfather Ibrahim ﷺ made in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 78 to 83, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي حُكْمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Oh my Lord, grant me wisdom and allow me to follow in the path of the righteous. So let me die and join the righteous, and let me stay upon Islam until my death and join amongst the righteous Muslims that have passed. So the legacy of Abraham is coming forth in Yusuf alayhi salam. The legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam is now realized in Yusuf alayhi salam, or at least one part of his legacy is realized in Yusuf alayhi salam. Now the next surah, Surah Ra'd also starts off with Alif, Lam, Mim, Ra. So it starts off with the disjointed letters, and it also has a mention of the Qur'an. And the first verse of Surah Ra'd actually tells us what the surah is about. The first and the last verse of Surah Ra'd are actually completely connected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tilka ayatul kitab, وَالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the verses of the book, and what has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, but most people do not believe. Most people do not believe. So basically, the central thesis of this surah is that whether or not people confirm the truth is insignificant, it's irrelevant. So whether people follow you, and whether people or whether people accept you or abandon you the way they abandoned Yusuf alayhi salam, or believe in you the way they eventually believed in Yusuf alayhi salam, that the message is intact and it's the truth no matter what. So if people confirm the truth or they don't confirm the truth, it has nothing to do with the fact that it is the truth. It's irrelevant to be confirmed by people. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the truth. This book is the truth no matter what, and nothing can stop it from being the truth, no matter what your circumstances are. Which in the story of Yusuf, the Prophet ﷺ is being given the glad tidings that you have a story like Yusuf. Your story is going to end like Yusuf alayhi salam, with everyone coming back to you and believing in your message. But Surah Ra'd is also in the same time period. It's the last days of Mecca, the very last days of Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 5, وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لِفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. They said, and if you are astonished, O Muhammad, then astonishing is their saying, when we are dust, will we indeed be brought into a new creation? Once we're dirt, will we indeed be resurrected? So basically, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that, you know, they're accusing you of being crazy, and they're accusing you of making this stuff up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, how illogical is their reasoning as well? That if we die and we become dirt, will we be brought back to life? Because Allah brought them into existence, into being, without anything in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how shackled their minds are, and because their minds and their hearts are shackled, they would face the consequences in this world and the next. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is actually where the name of the surah Ra'd comes from, Allah says, وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. This is verse 13. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the thunder exalts Allah with praise of Him, and the angels as well from fear of Him. You know, when you see thunder, you say, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. So the dua actually comes from this ayah, that all glory be to Him who the thunder glorifies Him, and the thunder declares His praise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the angels out of fear of Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically mentioning, if human beings fail to recognize and acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acknowledge the truth, everything around us is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَظِلَالُهُمْ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to Allah prostrates whatever is within the heavens and whatever is within the earth, willingly or by compulsion, and their shadows as well in the mornings and in the afternoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying everything, by virtue of its following the laws that Allah has placed, the laws of nature that Allah has placed in this world, is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly or unwillingly. So by your very existence, and by the plants around you, and the sun and the moon and so on and so forth, the orbit of the various systems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, all of that is constantly in glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declaring His perfection. Now in the previous surah, in Surah Yusuf, this is beautiful to show you the connection. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions The reward and glory that comes in dunya, in this world, for the believers that persevere. Okay? That eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers victory and He places them in a place of glory. So in Surah Yusuf, the previous surah, the reward of dunya is mentioned. So you don't find anything about Jannah in Surah Yusuf, for example, right? Which is very odd, because the entire thesis of Surah Yusuf is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give those patient people victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them in a place of glory so long as they remain firm and consistent. In this surah, in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reward in paradise in verse 24, the angel saying, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum, fa ni'ma uqba ad-dar, that peace be unto you for your patient endurance, your patience and your endurance, and how beautiful of a final abode is this. So basically, the reward now that's being mentioned here for your patience and endurance is one of the hereafter, as opposed to that which is in Surah Yusuf, which is one of the dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 28, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ, that those who believe and their hearts are comforted, they find, you know, by the remembrance of Allah. And Allah said, verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find tranquility. Why? Because that's Jannah on earth. That's paradise on earth. And no matter what you do to a person in this world, you can't take it out of their hearts. Right? The very famous saying of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam, when he was in prison, and he said that, what can my enemies do to me? If they kill me, it's martyrdom. And if they deport me, it's a chance to explore and contemplate the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they imprison me for life, then it's seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Jannah in the heart of the dhikr of Allah, of the remembrance of Allah, allows you to persevere in this world. You will find glory in this world, will eventually come to you inshaAllah ta'ala when you persevere. And of course, in the hereafter, the angels will remind you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind you, peace be unto you for your patience and for your endurance. So there's a connection between all of these things. And the last verse of Surah Ra'd is just like the first verse. So the first verse basically says that Allah does not need people to confirm the truth in order for it to be the truth. It's still the truth. Everything confirms it's the truth. Your existence confirms that it's the truth. The last verse is a response to the verse, the first verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا, the disbelievers say, you are not a messenger of Allah. They disbelieve and they say, you're not a messenger of Allah. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, say to them, O Muhammad, sufficient is Allah as a witness between me and you, and the witness of whoever has knowledge of the scripture. Meaning what? I don't need you to acknowledge me being your messenger in order to know that I'm the messenger. I'm the messenger of God because Allah appointed me as the messenger of God. So Allah is the witness upon all things. Your confirmation or denial is irrelevant, and it's only for your own good. And subhanAllah, what does the next surah start off with? The next surah, which is the last surah in this juz, is Surah Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in the same time period. And again, Ibrahim is the transition point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. I could seriously do the entire tafsir on this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, so that you could bring mankind out of darkness upon darkness upon darkness into the light by the permission of their Lord to the path of the exalted in might, the praiseworthy. Why is this such a beautiful response to what we've heard in Surah Ra'd? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah doesn't need you, and the book does not need you, and the messenger doesn't need you. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and by the way, the purpose of this message is to take you from darkness to light, which can only be done by the permission of your Lord, to the path of the all exalted in might and the always praiseworthy. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds that if you want to be guided to the path of Al-Aziz Al-Hamid, the path of the one who's always exalted in might and always praiseworthy, then it is for your own benefit and for your own good. Allah or the Messenger do not need you. It is your loss if you turn away, and it is your success if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever turns to Al-Aziz, فَهُوَ عَزِيزٌ بِعِزَّةِ اللَّهِ. Whoever turns to the one who's all honorable, all exalted in might, then he becomes honorable by the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever turns to Al-Hamid, the one who is praiseworthy, فَهُوَ حَمِيدٌ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ, then he will be praised by the praiseworthiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is good for you. And in verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And we did not send a messenger except speaking in the language of his people to state things clearly for them. So basically Allah is saying, I gave you a chance. The people of Mecca were given a chance. You had a prophet from amongst yourselves who spoke your language, who you've known for 40 years to be the most honest and trustworthy and truthful person, most generous and beloved person to you. And he made things clear to you. And we don't punish a nation unless we send a messenger that speaks to the people in their language. And again, through that, Allah guides who He wills and leads astray who He wills. And He remains exalted in might and exalted in His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in the context of Musa alayhi salam speaking to Fir'aun, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And when your Lord made the announcement, your Lord proclaimed that if you are grateful, I will increase you. And if you are ungrateful, if you disbelieve, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. Notice in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I will definitely increase you. And He said, if you're not grateful, my punishment is severe. He didn't say, لَأُعَذِّبَنَّكُمْ, I will punish you. Because you might repent, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might show mercy on you and forgive you, so you would not be punished. But the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it is for your own good that you show gratitude to Allah and that you believe in Allah. It's for your interest in this world. You would be increased in this world like Yusuf alayhi salam, and you would be increased like the people of Jannah are mentioned in Surah Ra'd, in the darajat, in the degrees of Al-Jannah. So it's for your own good. And if you are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always increase you. And Musa alayhi salam says, إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. If you turn away, you and everyone else on the face of the earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of need and always praiseworthy. So again, it's the same context that Allah does not need you. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you go to verse 21, Allah mentions the human shaytan. Okay? The human shaytan comes in the form of the one who leads you astray, in the form of someone who's giving you sincere advice. So Allah says in verse 21, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ قَالُوا لَوْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَيْنَاكُمْ سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that on the day of judgment, when they're gathered before Allah, the weak will say to those who are arrogant, meaning the followers who followed the Abu Jahls and the Abu Lahabs and the Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, and the Akhnas ibn Shuraik and so on and so forth, the followers gather together and they say to them, look, we used to follow you. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Are you going to be able to punish, protect us from the punishment of Allah in any way? So they say, لَوْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَيْنَاكُمْ. If Allah would have guided us, we would have guided you. And they say that, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. Look, it doesn't matter, it's the same for us. Whether we show intolerance or are patient now, there is no way to escape hellfire. Meaning right now, it's no point of arguing, and it's no point of showing patience or not showing patience or whatever it is, or pointing fingers. We're all going to be punished now. There is no escape. So basically what this is referring to is that the human shaytan, shaytan al-ins, that leads you astray, right? That teaches you what you should not be taught, that convinces you that it's okay to stand opposed to divine revelation and so on and so forth. That human shaytan will turn his back on you on the day of judgment. And the actual shaytan, the next verse, verse 22, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدِ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the speech that shaytan will give on the day of judgment. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that just as the people of hellfire are about to enter into hellfire, May Allah protect you and all of us from you and I and all of us from the punishment of hellfire. Shaitan stands up and gives a speech and says, listen, Allah promised you, I promised you, I broke my promise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not. But I did not have authority over you, except that I called you and you responded to me. So don't blame me, blame yourselves. I'm not going to be able to come to your aid, you will not be able to come to my aid. إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ I deny my association, or the association that you gave me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. And he says, إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And verily, the wrongdoers, all of us are now going to have a painful punishment. So Allah mentions the human shaitan and the jinn and the actual shaitan and how they would disassociate from you on the Day of Judgment. So don't let them turn you away from the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And that's why right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةً طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتُ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينَ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا Allah mentions the tree of Iman, the tree of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how firm it is in the heart of the believers. That La ilaha illallah is like a firm tree. It's like a palm tree in your heart. It has a strong foundation. Asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama. And its branches are high in the sky and it's constantly producing fruit. What that means is shaitan might sway you temporarily. But you will bend, but you won't break. You will never break. So if you have the foundation of Iman, Al-Qawl al-Thabit, okay, La ilaha illallah, strong in your heart, then neither human jinn or shaytan, neither human shayateen or the actual shayateen, the jinn shayateen, will be able to lead you astray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْوُذَ الْأَصْنَامِ Surah Yusuf, Allah mentioned the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that Mecca become a place of Tawheed, that it become the center of monotheism, that the home that he and his son would construct be a place that always testifies to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, and he says, رَبِّ جْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ رَبِّ جْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا O Allah, make this place secure and protect me and my sons from worshipping idols. So this is after the city has been established. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, the city has not yet been established. And that's why it says, رَبِّ جْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدَ Okay? As opposed to هَذَا الْبَلَدَ Al-Balad makes it definitive, so it's already there. So the city's been established. Ibrahim has built the Kaaba with his son Ismail, and he's making dua. Oh Allah, make this city secure and keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. So the people of Mecca are betraying the legacy of the father Ibrahim alayhi salam. They're betraying what he wanted from the city of Mecca. Subhanallah, Ibrahim wanted Mecca to be a place of monotheism, and they are kicking out his descendant, the prophet that he wished to see. In the Prophet ﷺ, because he's calling them to keep Mecca as a city of as a city that is free from idol worship. So basically, Ibrahim ﷺ has a dream for Mecca, just like Yusuf ﷺ was given a dream. The Prophet ﷺ will be the fulfillment of that dream of Ibrahim ﷺ to keep this place of Mecca a place of Tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathira min anas. Oh Allah, they have led many astray from the people. And he says, فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي So whoever follows me, then he is of me. So you're not of Ibrahim because you have his blood, because you're of his lineage. You're of Ibrahim when you follow the message of Ibrahim and uphold the covenant of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of Abraham, peace be upon him. So فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَن عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Whoever follows me is of me, and whoever disobeys me, you are forgiving and merciful, so they're not from me, O Allah. Rabbi inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri di zar'in inda baytika al-muharram. Rabbana liyuqimu s-salah, faj'al af'idata min anasi tahwi ilayhim warzuquhum min al-thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Allah, look, I've settled my descendants in an uncultivated valley near your sacred house. I'm settling my wife and my son, Ismail, in the middle of nowhere, in an abandoned desert, but it's near your sacred house, O Allah, so that they could establish the prayer. So make the hearts of the people inclined toward them and provide for them from the fruit so that they may be grateful. So Ibrahim a.s. has a dream that Mecca be a place of Tawheed and Salah, monotheism and prayer. The Prophet ﷺ will come back to Mecca and will rise the same way that Yusuf ﷺ rose, and he will fulfill the dream of his grandfather Ibrahim ﷺ. And today we are living that dream of Ibrahim ﷺ, that dream of Tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs no one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always exalted in might and praise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dignify us and honor us with Tawheed and with Salah, with the things that are beloved to him. And we ask Allah to make us of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of Yusuf alayhi salam, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan to you all. Inshallah ta'ala, I will see you tomorrow for Juz 14. Please do share the video, inshallah ta'ala, and get people involved in the study. Take your notes. Share your notes in the comments if you get a chance, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.